Yevamos Perek Tes Vav Mishnah Zayin 15:7. There's two parts to this Mishnah. The first part is really almost identical to the previous Mishnah. The second part is something totally different and actually unrelated to our topic at hand, but since it has the same theme and the same words, we'll include it as well. So here, first part of the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we talked about two women who are co-wives and one can't testify with regard to the other. Here we're going to have a daughter-in-law testifying regarding her mother-in-law's husband, meaning her father-in-law. And again, you'll recall that the daughter-in-law and mother-in-law relationship was considered to be fraught, and therefore the testimony of one with respect to the other could not be believed regarding the death of their husbands. So therefore the Mishnah says, Amra, the woman, we'll call her the Kala, okay, the wife. So Amra Meis Ba'ali, she, the Kala also means daughter-in-law, by the way, which is why I chose it. So she says, my husband died, and also while we were away, I was not just with my husband, but also with his father, my father-in-law, and my father-in-law also fell off the cruise ship. So not only am I a widow, but so is my mother-in-law. So the din is, tinase, she, the kala, can remarry, visitel ksubasa, and get her ksuba, collect on her ksuba. V'chamosa, however, her mother-in-law, asura, she remains unable to remarry the mother-in-law, because we're afraid that the daughter-in-law, the Kala, her testimony was not true, and really the father-in-law remains alive. Haisabas Yisrael, a Kohen, if the mother-in-law had originally been from a non-Kohen family, and she married the father-in-law, who was a Kohen, Tocho Betruma, she can still continue to eat Truma, Div Rib Tarfin. Rib Tarfin holds, even if she has no other children, mother-in-law has no other children because she had one son, but the son now died. So notwithstanding, the woman can assume, the mother-in-law can assume that her husband remains alive because the testimony of her daughter-in-law is rejected. And therefore, that's true not just about remarrying, but also that she can even eat truma because we assume that the daughter-in-law is a vadai shakranas, she is certainly lying. That's Reb Tarfon's Shita, similar to the Shita in the previous Mishnah when he said that the co-wives are certainly lying. Rebbe Kiva takes the same position as he did in the previous Mishnah. He says, Ein zu derech motziyas midei avera. He says, that's no way to protect this mother-in-law from doing sins. Achtei asur linaseh. First of all, it's true that she can't get remarried. But all the while she can't get remarried, still, va'asur le'achol b'truma. She also cannot eat truma because unfortunately, it's a suffix situation. We don't know what to do. Suffix derives to the chomer. We have to be strict both ways. And that being the case, she can't get remarried, but she can't eat truma either. Again, the halacha is like Reb Tarfon, like in the previous Mishnah, meaning we treat the testimony of these five women with fraught relationships as being one as being a vadai shakranis with respect to the other, meaning one is certainly lying, and therefore the testimony is totally dismissed, so this woman, the mother-in-law, continues to live on, unmarried, and eating truma as if her husband's still alive. So nothing really new in truth in that first part of the Mishnah that we haven't seen in the previous Mishnah, except we're just saying that the principle applies not just to the most obviously conflicted situation of two co-wives, but even in the other relationships, like, for example, the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Okay, now, like, new paragraph, Kilo, a new Mishnah, it's like we're starting something else. Since we had used that expression about Rabbi Kiva wanted to protect people from sin, we're going to talk about other cases, two other cases which are similar, unrelated to the previous. So the case for our Mishnah is Kidesh Achas Mechamesh Nashim Ve'enu Yodei La'eza Kidesh. There's a man, he did Kedushin with a woman in the dark the night before. The next morning, five women claim it was me who you were Mekadesh. And now they all want to get paid their ksuba. Kol achas omeres osi kidesh. Each one says, I'm the one who you were makadesh, and therefore we're married. Now let's say he wants to just, if he wants, the truth is he could say, fine, I'll marry all of you and get married to all of them. But if he wants to get rid of himself of some or all, he can get rid of all of them. But to get rid of all of them, he's required, nos and get the kol achas fachas. He's required now to give a get to each one of them, because we can't have them being trapped. That he can be forced to do. However, umaniach ksuba beinehen umistalek. He leaves the ksuba, it's 200 zuz, let's say. He says he can give the 200 zuz and walk away because these women haven't got the ability to make him pay five times. He, of course, has to pay for ksuba, but the four women are crooks and thieves, and they haven't, so he can't be forced by them to pay. So therefore, he has to pay one ksuba, let's call it 200 zuz, so he pays that to them, and that's that, the Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon doesn't mean they just, like, you know, throw 200 zuz in the middle and let the girls, you know, have a cat fight and see who wins. That'll never do, of course. Just the same way, if, you know, he has an obligation to the one to whom he has to give a ksuba, so he'll have to give it to her. So he can't just, like, throw it in the middle and let them fight her, because she won't get what is her fair share. So what he means ultimately is that essentially the guy hands it over to the Beis Din and says to the Beis Din, listen, this is the situation, you deal with it, and, you know, I'm happy to pay my ksuba, but you need to figure out who is the one who should get it. That's the setup. Now, as just a side point, FYI, there's a machlokus amurayim, whether a woman who's just an arusa, who has had done kedushin but not yet moved in with her husband, if she's even eligible to get a ksuba, or the ksuba only kicks in once nisuin, once chuppah, once she's moved in with him. So on the side that kedushin alone normally doesn't affect ksuba, the case is, in this case, he committed a ksuba, he wrote it, and so on. So they're fighting over it. That's a side point, but I guess an important one because of that machlokas. Now, Rabbi Kiva says no. Ein zu derech motziaso mi de'aver. That's no way that you can to be getting this guy to keep him out of trouble of sin. Are the Bezin's job is to keep him sin free, and this guy now owes someone something. He can't just not pay it. Ad she'iten get, he has to, if he wants to cleanse himself, and we require him to cleanse himself, he has to give a get. Uksubas l'kol achas v'achas, and he has to give not one but five ksubas to the five women who are claiming from him. Now, the truth is, Rabbi Kiva would agree with Tarfon in principle, because how in the world can four crooks force this guy to pay? Like, why? He's happy to pay one time and not more than that. So the Rabbi Kiva's ruling here, which is linguistically the same as the previous Mishnah, which is why what it's doing here, is in a scenario where this man was Mekadesh one of these women through Bia. He slept with her the night before. And although it's true that there are three ways legally to effect Kedushin, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, money, contract, and sleeping with her, the rabbis forbade that third option. They said that's not the way to do things. Well, it's effective, but we're forbidding it. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva's position is, if the way that the man in our Mishnah here was Mekadesh these women was through Bia, but this one woman through Bia, so we say, listen, we're giving you a kanas, a penalty. You did the wrong thing, and now you have to suffer the consequences. You have five women claiming, so you deal with it. You have to pay five times. But Rabbi Kiva would agree with Rabbi Tarfon that in the event he had given them kesef or shtar, and just he forgot who he gave the money to or the contract to, and they're all claiming, there are four thieves and one legitimate woman here, so then even Rabbi Akiva would agree he just has to pay one time, and if they can't agree amongst themselves who gets it, he gives it the best, and he can walk away. Similarly, the Mishnah has one more case here. It says, Gazal Echad Mechamisha. There's a guy. He's a robber. He broke into someone's house, put a gun to someone's head and took their wallet. And the next day, five people claim they're the victims and they want the wallet back. Kol Echad Vecher Omer Osi Gazal. Since each of the five are claiming that they were the victims of this theft, the robbery, Meniach Gazela Beinehin Mistalek Divrei B'Tarfon. B'Tarfon says, listen, okay, of course, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas, being Meshav V'Gazela, of returning the stolen object, so he has to return it. So he'll give the wallet back, and he'll say, listen, here's the wallet. Whoever's rightful owner gets to take it, since he can't just throw it in the middle and have them fight over it, to give it to the Beis Din, and that's it. Unless he pays back the wallet, as he's supposed to. But who gets it? That's the Beis Din's problem, not his problem. He can't be forced to pay five times. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, like before. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein zu derech motziato midei aver. There's no way to get this guy out of trouble with, like, upstairs. He has to be cleansed of sin, and that being the case, ad she'yishalem gazel l'kol echad ve'echad, if he wants, he needs to do right, and therefore he has to ensure that the victim gets paid in full, and therefore he has to pay all five of them the full amount, give them a full wallet each. Now, again, Rabbi Kiva agrees in principle that wouldn't be just, but it's a kanas over here, it's a penalty. This fellow had no business being a robber, no one told him to burglar these people. And since he did, now he has to suffer the consequences of to make amends. He has to ensure that his victim gets the wallet back. And if it means paying five wallets, he has to pay five times. But, just in contrast, to illustrate the point, if, hypothetically, the case had been a fellow walks into a crowded marketplace, there are lots of merchants hawking their wares, and he says he'll buy that, whatever it is, the widget from one of them, and then you know, he gets out his 5 shekels to pay for the widget, and 5 people say, oh no, that was my widget. You have to pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me. So he, Rabbi Akiva would agree in such a scenario that of course he has to pay 5 shekels, but since there are only 1 legitimate merchant and 4 crooks, so again, he could give that 5 shekels to the Bezdin and say, listen, Bezdin, you deal with these crooks. One guy really deserves the 5 shekels, but there are 4 crooks and it's not my problem. I'm paying in full and they have to deal with it. They're the bad guys. It's not my problem. So that is how Rabbi Akiva would agree, like Reb Tarfon, because there we're not going to have a knas. There's no reason to give a penalty to a fellow who just was innocently shopping and, you know, tried to get hoodwinked by a bunch of nasty merchants. So he can walk away just paying 5 shekels one time. In contrast to the previous case of the Mishnah, if he's a thief, a robber, then of course he has to suffer the consequences and he does get a knas, a penalty, and therefore he has to pay 5 times. And these halachas like Rabbi Akiva.